Robert Lowell said, "Living without you is like learning to walk." But twice now I've had to learn to walk, and living without you in my life is a much harder proposition, more difficult indeed than simply growing old alone. But how old can a man get who has already lived twice as long as he ever intended? Every day is a whole new thing, never before contemplated or even imagined, but a gift from the gods who administer our sentences with their twisted sense of humor. And when the Beatles asked the question so long ago, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? The answer is not at all the one I had expected, of course, but I'll keep on living as long as I can and make the most of it as best as I am able, awash in the love of my daughters and my incredible granddaughter and my treasured friends and countless co-conspirators wherever I go." That old man, still alive and kicking.
Welcome to another Circle Day show on Resonance 104.4 FM. Tonight is a music show. With me is John Sinclair, who has been on the show before. He's also known for many things, including managing the band MC5 back in the 60s, and he also was leader of the White Panther Party in Detroit, who sought to assist the Black Panther Party in the civil rights movement. What we're going to focus on tonight is the spoken word, because that's what you've been doing, creating amazing music, John.
Thank you.
And you've got a new album out now, which is what we played just now as an intro. What's that called, by the way, that song?
That Old Man.
Yeah. We also have Jude Rowlings here live with us. Jude is perhaps best known as the lead singer and principal songwriter of London art rock band The Subterraneans in the 90s. Also, in the late 80s, he fronted notorious Midland indie band Angel Head. He's also worked with artists as diverse as the filmmaker Derek Jarman. Am I pronouncing his surname right? Yeah. And the amazing Bjork. And something really cool, he's currently chairman of the William Blake Society.
Amen.
He lives in East London and waves flags for no one.
That's right.
Hi, Jude.
Hi.
Hiya. You have a guitar with you, your guitar, so we can look forward to a live performance in a bit. Yep. Welcome both of you on The Circle Day. Let's start with you, John. When did you first get into writing poetry?
As a young man.
Yep. Okay, so I just get around.
After I read Howl by Allen Ginsberg, I wanted to be a poet.
Thank you. Yep. Jude. What got you into creating music?
After I read Howl by Allen Ginsberg, I formed a rock band.
Really?
Yeah.
Named after a phrase in the opening strophe of Howl.
Exactly.
Yeah. Angel Head,
yeah.
Wow, that's a popular poem.
Angel-headed hipsters floating high above the rooftops of the city contemplating jazz. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where it
Allen
came from.
Allen Ginsberg.
Yeah. What was the, this is to you, Jude, the Made in Britain song you performed before the poll tax?
That's right, yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's quite interesting.
Yeah, we played, it was a benefit concert for Animal Aid, actually, and the night before we all piled on a bus to the poll tax demonstration in 1990, March 1990. And it was, I don't think we ever performed it any other time, that song, but it was our most kind of politicized song, and it was very anti-monarchy. It was just kind of anti-everything, you know. And I hadn't even really thought about it, but obviously what with recent events in London, it kind of came up a few times, you know, so.
Bring it back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know. There's a line in it where in which I referred to the Queen as a fat pig.
Whoa.
You know, and I meant it then, and yeah.
That would have gone over big at the Jubilee last week.
Yeah, you know. Did I? Yeah, I was an angry young man. Now I'm older and less angry. Yeah. But, you know, I'm still no flag waver.
How much less?
A bit less.
Yeah, a bit less.
Don't ever let go of your anger fully.
Never.
John,
not unless everything gets to be okay.
Yeah, someday. Yeah. John, can I ask you to do a poem for us?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Sure.
Go for it.
Oh, good. Man, I thought I'd have to be grilled some more.
That's coming up.
Oh, okay. This is a poem inspired by music by John Coltrane. It's called Spiritual. What is jazz but spirituals? Played through saxophones and trombones. Spirit voices through metal tubings and the terrible repetition of the formal premise, viz. Trance-like at its best, or boring, when the spirit doth not move. Oh, what is blues but spirituals with a line removed that is structurally and in content just a prayer to the gods of daily life, to ask the blessing that the body of another may lay warm in the bed beside you at night, and the rent be paid, and a meal on the table with the sheriff far away from the scene of the crime. Oh, what is jazz but the registration of the human personality in relation to the spiritual? Stripped of literal meaning, but full of sound and portent, direct as the voice of the gods. Spiritual.
You have, like, the best poet voice, I think. It's great.
Thank you. I'm a radio guy.
So. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you. So you have your own show in Amsterdam, don't you?
I have my own radio station online on the World Wide Web. It's called RadioFreeAmsterdam.com.
Cool. Jude, as you also...
Now in its eighth year.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say.
Yeah. No, I listen frequently, and you play the blues a lot, don't you?
Yes, I'm a blues man.
Yeah. Jude, as you are set up now with your guitar.
Kinda.
Yeah. Are you right?
which microphone am I speaking into? Speaking either one. Hi.
You're in stereo.
You're right to take over.
I can give you a song. We'll see
how
it goes.
Yeah, go on.
You
know? Yeah.
And I'll try not to move. So, okay, this is a song called "Lights," which is on the last Subterraneans album, which is called "This Too Shall Pass," and it was written for William Blake's 250th birthday in 2007, and it's not directly Blake in, but anyone who's familiar with the context will probably hear a thing or two in there. So I'll see if I can remember the words, and if I can't, I'll bust them. So, all right. Thank you.
thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're both playing together in the UK, aren't you?
Yes, we're playing with the band leader,
yeah.
Jerome Parker Wells.
Yeah, it's the Songs of Miriam, the music of Kurt Vile, Reflections on the Music of Kurt Vile, in fact, which is a kind of avant-garde take on Kurt Vile, the German composer. And we're playing three shows next week in Bristol, London and Brighton. And Lena Lovitch is taking lead vocal duties with myself, and I believe John is doing spoken word
poetry with us.
And
Bristol, London and Brighton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Vortex in Dalston a week from tonight.
Yeah.
I'll try and make that.
Well, that'd be good. We'd love to see your face in the place.
We'd like to see everybody there.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Dalston's not so bad these days, so come on down.
Great place, the Vortex.
Yeah. I've been there before. Jude, tell us about what projects you've got up your sleeve.
I guess the most interesting, fun, weird one at the moment is the 40th anniversary remake of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which we're doing to raise money for Macmillan, the cancer charity. And we're doing the Visions of the Daughters of Albion version of Ziggy Stardust, which is we're doing it all with female vocalists, and we've got some really great people involved in that. Maria McKee, Lena's doing a track, Lena Lovitch, and particularly excited actually because Lisa Ronson, Mick Ronson's daughter, is involved, and which is kind of like the ultimate endorsement, really, I guess, of what we're trying to do. And
they've crowned it. You know, I read in the paper yesterday about his niece, who's some kind of pop singer.
Right, his niece. I don't know. His daughter is a pop singer. His daughter's a great singer. Yeah.
What's name is she?
Lisa.
No, this one had a single name. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was impressed that it was Mick Ronson's niece.
Yeah. I mean, he's
he inspired
talented
both of
genes
them,
there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really great. So that we've approached some extraordinary people with it. It's the first project by a new label called Naughty Baby Records, which is kind of a radical departure, I think, from most current record labels, because it's kind of a little bit devoted to slightly conceptual work, and you know, there's a serious slant to it, but a real fun slant to it as well. And so I think it's going to be something to watch, and it's a bizarre project to be involved with, but there's been a lot of synchronicity. I was when I got the message that Lisa Ronson had accepted our invitation to be involved, I was actually sheltering from the rain in Heddon Street, where the photograph on the front cover of Ziggy Stardust was taken in 1972. I was literally like 10 feet away from you know, all the streets in London I could have been in, you know. So it's just one of those great things, you know. And so we're looking forward to doing that, and hopefully that'll be out, I suppose, October, November, something like that, with any luck.
Yeah. Who are the other people involved that you told me about?
We've got definites and we've got maybes at the moment, okay. So I don't want to say too much about the maybes, but they are pretty big names, you know. I mean, you will have heard of all of them. So
let's leave that as a surprise then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, let's delve into both of your pasts a little bit.
You better start with John.
What about my projects?
John.
What about my current projects?
Your current. Okay, let's get into your current projects then first.
Good.
Go on then. Yes, please.
Well, I just finished a little tour of Ireland and Scotland. And out where I live, they call it outstate, but in the north of England, with a guy called Mr. Nice, Howard Marks. We did a two-man show.
I was going to ask you about. Go on, tell me about that, please.
Well, it's just two old dopers talking about their outlook and their experience in prison and their fight against the marijuana laws and what have you.
It was called Breathing Air?
Breathing Air with Howard Marks and John Sinclair. Yeah, I don't know. I hope we'll do some more of them, but we just did 2 weeks. It was really kicks. He's a great character. He wrote the great book called Mr. Nice. and the follow-up called Senior Nice, which I'm reading right now. So that was good. And then I got a new record coming out that you played a cut from to start the show. And I made this with a guy called Youth, the bass player.
And where people can buy that online?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Sorry, okay. Well,
I'm just a poet. You know?
I'll put it on the website. Go on, Karen.
But it's on Track Records. My manager, Ian Grant, owns Track Records. He bought it out of bankruptcy. But that was the label that Jimi Hendrix started on.
And the Who,
hey
wasn't
Joe
it?
Was on Track.
And who?
Yeah, the Who, Live at Leeds.
The Who were on
famous
Track.
Track Records. Yeah.
So I feel pretty good being on Track, you know, so to speak. So it's coming out, I don't know when, but soon.
Yeah.
We got an advance copy. I brought it for you.
Yes, thank you. You're going to sign it for me.
Man, I wanted to say how great it is to be on Resonance Radio. I love Resonance Radio. And, of course, I met you on Resonance Radio on Tracy Moberly's show from The Foundry.
I know, The Foundry.
We had a lot of fun on that show.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I was kind of a regular. Anytime I came to London, I was on that show.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same if you didn't
And I was
go.
On here with Ivor Colin, the cello player. And years ago, when Resonance first started, Edwin Drood. I don't know, he's a great writer. He was the original DJ on there. I really had a good time on his show.
Yeah.
The last time I was on that show, the late breakfast show, was with...
The late breakfast show.
Yeah, it was pretty late, yeah. It was, and it was in the one part of town where you couldn't get breakfast. It was in Old Street, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I remember I was on there with Angie Bowie, actually.
Wow.
Who's a good friend of mine, who I have just embarked on a new project with. So
oh,
I just thought
good.
I would use that as a segue into that.
Okay. You know,
and I'm not a Bowie obsessive, and I don't do everything Bowie. That's just a total coincidence. And I just
you're doing pretty good so far. Ziggy Stardust, Angie Bowie.
Yeah. All coincidence.
Okay. You know,
because I'm not being productive
you'll be
enough
bringing
on my
up,
own.
The egg.
John.
Yes.
What would you say, out of all the things you've done in your life, would be the most memorable time in your life that's good and nice? And
getting out of prison 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the high point of my life so far.
Getting freedom back.
Yeah. That was a great moment.
Yeah. You were expected to go for 10 years, weren't you?
Yeah, I had a sentence of 9.5 to 10 years for possession of 2 joints.
Yeah. And then you spent 2.5 years.
Correct.
Yeah, it's better than 9, isn't it?
Far better.
Yeah.
That
Howard Marks did 7 years in prison in America.
I actually regard that your release then as a kind of really significant cultural event, though. It's
For me, it was even more than a cultural event. It was a personal epiphany of the highest order.
Thanks in a large part to John Lennon.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, there was a massive concert, wasn't there?
Yeah. Headlined by John and Yoko.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder, Bob Seger, people like this. But 3 days later from the concert, I was released from prison.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a magical moment.
You don't mess with the Beatle, do you?
No, you don't want to mess with them.
Yeah. I know. I remember watching something that I think was... documentary about John Lennon.
US versus John Lennon?
I think it might have been that, I think. But they before he died, they were planning to go on tour and follow the elections.
Well, we were going to do that in 1972.
What an amazing idea.
Richard M. Nixon, we were going to dog the campaign trail of the dread Nixon. And that's how he got in trouble with the government. They started trying to get him out of here. Yeah, there's a really good movie called US versus John Lennon. And as you watch it, you see what an extraordinary individual this guy was. Beyond his great powers as an artist and composer, he tried to do something about the terrible things in modern life, you know, and the political thing. And they bought anti-war billboards in Times Square in New York City, and they did bed-ins for peace. They dedicated their honeymoon to trying to get the message of peace across.
The Amsterdam Hilton.
I thought this is so far. Yeah, Amsterdam Hilton.
Yeah.
And it's so far out, because could you imagine somebody doing that now?
No, it's far out, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a lot more money now, too.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about your Ziggy Stardust show. I was hoping that Dave might throw in a couple of his millions. You know?
Really?
No, I doubt. I hope so. I don't know. It'd be good for him.
Yeah. I don't know.
John Lennon, he devoted his whole life, didn't he? I mean,
well,
a
big
lot
part
of his life.
Of it, yeah.
Not his whole life. But
I mean, he's such a great example of what can happen if you have somebody who has both great talent and a commitment to the truth.
Right.
You know, and which is so stupidly rare, and why it's so rare, I don't know, you know, but it's like...
You know, and he had a very negative reaction to the kind of celebrityhood, Beatleism stuff. And he went the other way and stripped his stuff down musically. And the great records he made, like God and things like that,
he sort of...
They were the opposite of pop music in a way, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
What's kind of, I think, particularly impressive with Lennon, and there are other examples as well, like people like John Lydon, who we were talking about earlier on, or Morrissey. There are occasionally you get these artists who are both successful culturally, but they also mean it, you know, and they don't that they can't be bought. They don't need to be bought anyway because they've made a bit of money. But I think that there are in the media, in particular in this country and probably in America too, there's a certain amount of surprise and astonishment that some people actually mean what they say.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of counter-indicated by the pop music business.
Yeah.
Actually, we've come to the last question.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Well, this show goes by fast, Jude.
It does, I know, when you're having fun. This is for Jude. You're currently the chairman of the William Blake Society.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to take up that post very quickly, though? 2 minutes?
It was an honour, a complete honour. And it's also, I as an artist, I feel very much a part of a creative tradition. You know, it's kind of, I find it healthy to accept myself as part of a creative tradition. You know, it's not to do with ego, it's not to do with any of that stuff. And it's just, it's about the present. It's about keeping things in the present. It's not about the past. And that's what Blake was all about to me, and still is.
Yeah, he was a great man. I love his paintings and his poetry.
Everything.
Yeah.
I think we've come to the end now. How quick was that? Anything you want to kind of final thought type of thing?
I'm hoping you're going to play a cut from my new album
go
out with, and I just wanted to say the album's called Beatnik Youth.
We'll see you next Tuesday at the Vortex.
Yes. Amen.
Well, that's all, folks. Hope you enjoy listening as much as I enjoy doing it. Thank you both, John and Jude. So until next week, go onto the Facebook page and like it, and go on the website www.thecircledave.com, and you get to listen to this show again and past shows. Until next week, turn on, tune in, and kick off.
The Screamers stagger down overgrown sidewalks of memory, giving hand and giggling. Earth Angel, how I long for you. Where you been all these years? Johnny Ace with a hole in his head. Where you fly?